about freedom. It's still about freedom. 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 It's still about freedom. It's still about freedom. It's still about freedom. It's still about freedom.
Lom Nava Love. From that album, which is released 2 weeks ago, soundtrack the upcoming film by the same name, debuting in July, which we'll talk about with the two people who are putting all this together. Navasha Day is back in the studio again. Good to see you, Navasha.
Good to see you, too.
Singer, songwriter, just got back from Benin, which we'll hear about, co-founder and director of Healing and Performing Arts at the Youth Resiliency Institute. The other half of her life and work, Fanon Hill is in the house, cultural organizer, co-founder and executive director of also of the Youth Resiliency Institute and trainer for the National Rites of Passage Institute. Good to have you all here.
It's good always to be here, always.
Always a pleasure. You and your entire team always treat us like family, doing great,
family.
Great work. It is
family.
Yes, indeed.
Y'all join us here, 410-319-8888. Write to us here at talkatsteinershow.org. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. So where do we begin? There's so much to talk about.
much to talk about.
Yeah.
So let's just talk very quickly about, so we can get into the album and what's happening in Cherry Hill and
yep.
what you're doing here. You just got back from Benin.
Oh, Lord, yes. The home of the Voodoon. Yes, it was very, very beautiful.
Voodoon.
Yes. Made some connections there musically, shared the music because the title of the movie and the soundtrack, Lom Nava, is Evwe. From West Africa and Benin, they speak Evwe. So the people there knew what I meant when I said Lom Nava. And to bless this project and to give honor
like
to
somebody who speaks the language.
Oh, Suki now. And to give honor to the it was an honor to be there to kind of set it off in regards to getting sanction from the people in regards to this work that we're doing with this title that's, you know, Evwe. And while I was there, I did some spiritual work, but also there for, you know, music as well. So it was awesome. And it was really warm when I got back. It was really cold, but anyway.
So I'm going to hear more and more of that. We should the whole other day talking about that. I'd
yes.
love to hear about that journey to Benin. It sounds you were there for a week?
Yes. A little longer than that. Yeah.
So let's talk a bit about this new CD, but this film and the project and how it fits into the work mm-hmm. you're doing in Cherry Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, once again, in 2008, I had the opportunity to meet Miss Shirley Folks, a dynamic community champion in Cherry Hill Public Housing. And I attended a tenants association meeting. And at the time, I was new to Baltimore, been in Baltimore for almost 10 years now. But when I arrived, everyone said, whatever you do for now, do not go to Cherry Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I recalled, you know, in terms of my upbringing growing up in East Cleveland, Ohio, where we also have Journey Project programming, people used to say the same thing, you know, don't go to East Cleveland. So, of course, I ventured into Cherry Hill. And what I discovered was a beautiful, historic community in this most amazing woman, Shirley Folks, who had been working with children, with families for decades and whose story had not been properly told. And so we took time and we developed trust. And a few years later, we held our first summer camp and expected maybe about 15, 20 families to show up. We had over 60 families who showed up for an opportunity for their children to be included or to have an opportunity to be involved in art-based programming. And after that experience, we knew that we had to solidify our relationship with Shirley Folks, with the other family organizers there. And so we developed year-round programming, all without public or private funding. We tapped into the spirit of self-determination that exists in black communities, whether it's, you know, the Oliver community, Park Heights. And lo and behold, a few years later, we were awarded a grant from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation to support our family engagement, culturally relevant family engagement work. In other words, tapping into the history, the protocol, the tradition that existed in Cherry Hill, as well as Albemarle Square, which is in East Baltimore, mixed population housing,
yeah.
where we have Journey Project programming, and East Cleveland, Ohio. So we believe in organizing across state lines and making sure that families have a chance to explore different tactics and strategies that work in different ecosystems. And so, lo and behold, we were able to fulfill a promise that we made to Shirley Folks when we first met her and document her efforts in Cherry Hill and the efforts of the other families whom we're working with within the Journey Project. So in July, we're going to debut a documentary titled Lom Nava Love, which is going to provide oxygen for these families whose voices, whose stories are rarely told, for them to tell their own stories. And we knew we needed a soundtrack. And I thought about it. And I said, are you up to it, Fanon? Because I'm a musician as well. And I knew no one really knew these families like we did. So Navasha and I entered into a partnership, an artistic partnership. I pulled out my guitars, keyboards, and wrote over a week period. And the product is this soundtrack, Lum Na Va Love, original motion picture soundtrack. And this music, which was released in April, is now playing around the world.
Yeah.
In England, in Japan, in Venezuela. So the stories of these families, the themes that runs throughout the soundtrack, which is freedom. It's still about freedom. These songs are healing worldwide. And so it's very, very humbling and exciting. Mm-hmm.
So the sound, the music here is going to be in the film. This is the soundtrack.
Some of the music, yeah.
Right?
Correct.
But I noticed kind of philosophically how you approach this.
Mm-hmm.
About the themes of the African diaspora and freedom, mm-hmm. and the history. That mm-hmm. to me is really kind of interesting. Each piece of music kind of touches on
correct.
A different aspect of black existence.
Yes. So we have protest funk. And then
protest
you have
funk.
Protest funk. That's dubbed by Fanon. Protest funk. We have, you know, of course, reggae. We have folk. You know, I heard that song, Who's Child. We have traditional R&B, you know, like Motown, the Baltimore Stand Strong song. And then we have, you know, soul is permeated through all of that, which is, you know, from Africa originally. I mean, when we look at the history of music. And it's just, to me, it's every time we recorded it, right? We had our process. First of all, us entering into an artistic partnership was very new. So that was a whole process that was really beautiful and very much a beautiful surprise, to be honest.
Yeah, because working a husband and wife together can also be, it has its little holes along the way.
You know what I'm saying? No, it's good. It's good because, you know, we did this work. Like, even just working in the community together is something that was a kind of surprise initially. And us being really good at it as a team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And right. the need right. for the families and children to see a husband and wife working together. And we're very real with them. You know, we're like fussy or whatever, lovey. They get to see all of that. And then the music, though, was a surprise. Our families in Cleveland who we grew up with the community are very, very, very proud. But some of them weren't surprised. They were like waiting. Some of them were like, we were waiting for y'all to work together. You know, people who knew he did, Rafa and I wrote music. And as a musician, he plays bass too. He didn't mention that. And so it's very much a beautiful surprise because we still get to really demonstrate our work and our dedication to the community through the music. And me being mm-hmm. a professional musician, mm-hmm. You know, is an asset, obviously. And
yeah.
I'm really very proud. I'm very proud of my vocals on this album. And Fanon is a really, really profound producer as well. He's very, very detailed. I thought I was really picky. He's way more picky than me. I mean, each instrument, he's like, no, play this hi-hat. No, play this vintage Arp Odyssey. He's very specific in what he likes. And it really helped me as a producer because I wasn't all that specific about everything. I was like a little different. But he's a guitar player. And I didn't play guitar at all. I play keys, percussion, and singing. Because he plays guitar, too, is a different ear. And I learned a lot about musicianship from this process as well. But it's an honor because when I perform the songs, I see it differently. It's based upon who's in the room listening to it. And so recently when we performed for the live recording, one of the songs, Hallelujah, is about Mama Ginger Dukes Beal, who's an elder who transitioned. She was a great organizer. Fanon organized with her. I met her through Fanon. And she lost her son through violence. He used his body to protect a group of people at a club. He was a bouncer and passed and transitioned. And she met Fanon and adopted him as a son. And they were walking around the city organizing. And one of her favorite phrases was Hallelujah. And I hope I'm sharing the story because you would say it a little more passionately, Fanon. But when we had this event, her children were there and her grandchildren were there and the mothers that she organized with were there and they were crying. When I came up to them at the end of the show, they were like, thank you for honoring our mother. And that's the kind of energy that this project is about. A lot of artists can make music about themselves, but when you make it bigger than yourself to make a change
right.
in a grounded way, right. not just in a, I want to be different now, I'm going to talk about the people right. now, I've decided now. It's really profound and then it's blessed by the spirit world, it's blessed by the community in a different way so that surpasses the need for the acclaim you would get from the industry. The industry has no choice but to embrace it when the people embrace it.
So are we going to play another cut? Describe it to us?
Sure. Well, Navasha spoke about protest funk. So the next cut, Operation 666 Poverty, is a song that really takes listeners on a journey with a contemporary black folk hero as she and her family are stalked by poverty at every turn. Operation 666 Poverty.
Let's hear some of this.
I just need a little bit of a buffet, a little buffet. Oh, man, you gonna give me a buffet? Oh, man, that's beautiful. I got you, baby. I'm gonna get you back on this one here, man. Sure appreciate that now. Man, this buffet, this buffet is expired last week. I'll be dog, man. If I didn't have no bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Man, I swear, I don't know what's happening from this day to the next day.
The future is knocking hard at my front door. Has made me a refugee in my own country, in my own country. I need a job, but I ain't got no phone, no internet, no telecommunications are robbing me brutally. Them vibrations are free, them vibrations are free, them vibrations are free. Tell me, did you hear me?
Free. Well, I sound professional. Just messing with you. But it's just not, because I think that's, it is amazing. I mean, you know, when you, we always, in this town, not always, but too often, kind of think we don't have what it takes to be national, international, in terms of our sound and right. our work, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
this is like such a professionally mm-hmm. produced piece
mm-hmm.
of music.
Mm-hmm.
There's no half step in this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, no.
This particular song right. has been playing in England since we released it.
It's
one of their favorites.
This one.
Operation 666 Poverty. And once again, you know, this album is very much a concept album. So freedom is one of the themes that runs throughout every song.
Oh, go ahead. Finish what you're saying, man.
So we knew in terms of recording this, we recorded it at Right Way Studios, the studio Nabasha has used. Steve Wright, a tremendous, humble engineer. And I wanted vintage equipment. And Mark, there's something very surreal about playing an instrument that's older than you. So at the time, we used a Mini Moog, which was 40 years old. And when you play,
what is a Mini Moog for our listeners?
So that's a synthesizer that is one of the first synthesizers ever created. And Steve Wright actually had the synthesizer that had been sitting in his corner for decades. And when I asked if he had it, he said yes, and he looked amazed. But to use vintage equipment, you know, instruments, when you're recording, it brings a certain essence, a different type of energy into the actual production. And so this particular song, you know, you can feel the essence of these vintage instruments. They're telling their own story, and there's a lot of interplay. But the whole process was very, very professionally done. The instrumentation, the musicians who came in the studio, there was a lot of trust. A lot of trust about playing these songs and honoring them and the people whom we speak about within these songs.
So talk about the I just want you to pick up in here, and Nabasha jump into this as well, that how the role that art and cultural activism plays in changing who we are and changing community. Because people always see this as kind of, not always, but many people see this as kind of Philly attachment, right?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the heart mm-hmm. of it. Could you all talk to mm-hmm. that a little bit, since that's...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that's a great question. And, you know, the Youth Resiliency Institute, we honor the role that art plays and has always played within our communities. And one of the things I often share is the reality that the functionality of African art redeems and restores. The functionality of African art redeems and restores. So within the African tradition, it's not about simply making a mask and then nailing it to a wall or hanging it from a wall. It's about the functionality of that mask, how that mask is used within rituals, how that mask can restore, redeem. And so for those of us who call ourselves artivists, who live as artivists, there's no separation. Mm-hmm. You know, how we greet each other is artistic in terms of how we give each other dap. you know, how we produce our art, who we surround ourselves with when we're producing the art, where we produce the art. So to produce many of these songs in Cherry Hill Public Homes in terms of writing these lyrics while waiting for programming to begin, so on and so forth. You know, there's no separation. And, you know, industry pop culture oftentimes tries to force a separation, which creates fragmentation. And whenever there's fragmentation, there's not wholeness. And that does not speak to who we are, who we were made to be by the Creator.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And also, I mean,
well put.
Yeah, very well put, sweetie. Also, you know, with every great movement, there's always a soundtrack, and music is a way for us to connect. It has its own language. And as an African people, even when I was in Benin, everything is ritualistic. Everything is spiritual. There's no separation. It's not like, now we're compartmentalized, we're going to be spiritual. Now we're going to be artistic. Now we're going to be cultural. It's all connected. It's right. Holistic. And in this baby teenage culture called America, you know, they're learning. People who are in power are learning. Thus us making this album to explain African Americans. Because if you heard in there, it said, you know, you don't have no internet, I can't get a job. So if you don't know that people are suffering like that, and you're making policy and trying to make change, and you're trying to figure out what's going to happen with these people, and you think you're helping, if you don't know what's really needed, and you don't go to the people and ask them, then you're dictating what they need instead of asking them. So this project is very important in regards to sharing the myriad faces and consciousness of Black people. And so with art, I mean, once again, it's really hard to explain when you live it, but it's very important. I mean, art and culture are very important. Like, if you don't know who you are, how are you going to be confident? If you don't know who you are, how are you going to function in the world and fulfill your destiny? If you don't know who you are, how do you even know what your destiny is? How do you ask those questions? So art not only brings people together, it allows, if you do art, make art together, that is a whole other dynamic. But if you're experiencing art, it's a way for people to hear things without the opinions of that speeches give. So if you're hearing it through a song, maybe you'll hear it a little differently, and you'll digest it while you're dancing to it, which is very purposeful, by the way. Hypnotic, you know, bring you in, listen to these words and say, I never thought of it like that. And that's what it's about. It's about communicating, bonding, and bridging the gaps.
So I have another question here, but do you want to select another cut that we should listen to as we're talking a little bit?
You want to go to Who's Child?
Yeah, sure. So, yep, Who's Child, folk song, honoring the folk tradition within the African-American community, the African community, actually. But this song, Who's Child, dissects a $1 billion education industry that preys on children and families living in America's most disenfranchised communities.
You know, I'm not laughing at you, but I just made me, sorry.
Not hey,
yeah,
hey,
I hear you.
There you go. Who's Child?
Who's Child?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Whose child is this you are hurting? Whose child is this whose future you're burning? Whose child is this in need of a learning? Child is this who is yearning to be free, been in many schools with policies and rules in need of breaking.
Now, that is an art unto itself. You can leave that up a little bit so people can hear the lyrics as we talk a little bit. But because the lyrics to me is what, when you listen to these lyrics, right? This is a trick to be able to sing a question of policy, history, and reality without making it pedantic and boring. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's a gift to do that. It
right?
Really is.
I mean,
yes. You know, and Mark, this particular song speaks to a fierce organizer in Cherry Hill Homes, Latifah Dorsey. And she went through a 2-week period where she was fighting to get her son transferred from one school into another. And she did everything she was supposed to do, but yet she was not able to get her son into a school. And of course, we assisted her within this process. But it speaks to what Black families, Black parents, whether they're single mothers, grandparents who are raising grandchildren, go through, and how indeed they do and are fighting for an equitable educational experience for their children. But oftentimes, you don't hear their stories. You know, there are these perceptions or misperceptions about Black families not caring about the education of their children. But they're fighting. They're fighting. And so these songs, to your point, and, you know, I mean, Navasha's voice, to even write the lyrics to
these
songs.
Not a small part of this.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, there were times where Steve Wright, the engineer, and I were in the studio, and, I mean, we had goosebumps. We had chills. You know, she sounded like Joan Armatrout, Mavis Staples, Navasha Dea. I mean, it was awe-inspiring and a very special project. We were honored to have her. I'm saying that as her husband, involved in this project. I mean, very, very honored. And she lifts the stories of these families in public housing like no one or very few could possibly do.
Well, it's my destiny. My dad... When I really love singing this kind of music. I love the diversity of the album. And my dad, when I was little, he would be singing the church, and my mom said he would always get everybody to get the spirit. And that's something I never really thought of as an artist. I'm a good entertainer. I know I'm a good entertainer. I know I have a pretty voice. But the soulfulness of really sharing messages, I actually really enjoy singing about things that are about upliftment, about healing, that is challenging, that people may not sing about because it might get them in trouble. I actually really enjoy doing that. and I know that I have a way of doing that. People can digest it. I know that's something I do. So with this song, I made some really tricky words in here that Fanon wrote. I'm really honored to sing his music. I'm very proud of him, by the way.
So you wrote the words to this?
He wrote the words and the music to this album. Yeah. Okay? This is a debut. I mean, I'm just really proud of him. And it's one of those things like Bill Withers and people who come out later in their lives. And you're like, what? You could do this too? I didn't know. So it's very much a pleasant, beautiful surprise.
Well, it's interesting because I've always played in the community. I was never necessarily interested in playing at, in studios or poetry events. You know, I would be with the mothers and I'd be with my guitar and my pedals playing songs in the Oliver community or at Safe Streets events. So I utilized my art, you know, in the community. But I had to challenge myself. I had to push myself beyond my comfort levels and take it in the studio, which is an entirely different experience. Yeah. You know, when you're playing in that studio and you're getting, you know, you're hearing the notes, I mean, it makes you a better musician, as Navasha always says. And she was correct.
It does.
Which is, even hearing this and the lyrics, one of the things, again, that I said earlier, that the idea, Fanon, I mean, that to write lyrics that have kind of a meaning in terms of where we are in the struggle to make a better world and to make it, feel, make it fit into a song, make it fit into the art, and not be kind of this stuck place where you can't really enjoy it because the words don't fit the music. That's a real, like
Curtis Mayfield did that.
Yeah. And Fanon Hill.
Well, I mean, and Mark, you're right, but I mean, that's the continuity in terms of, you know, growing up in East Cleveland from a large family. My family couldn't afford a guitar for me. So I would go down to a neighborhood record store and buy records, hip-hop records, and sell them to my friends or exchange them for their parents' classic soul albums. So I learned music theory and arranging from Curtis Mayfield. And I learned wah-wah guitar, the beauty of it, from a Peter Tosh in Jamaica. So, you know, the masters, they teach us. They speak to us, you know.
It made me think, this is a total digression, but for 2 seconds, it made me think of an interview I just heard with Santana and one of the guys from his band. Because they're going on a new tour now and put out an album of all their old stuff. And he talked about how they lived collectively in the 60s and listened to, and everybody brought all these different genres of music and Afro-Cuban sound and soul sound and the blues and jazz.
That's right. Oh, my goodness.
And married them into this universal African sound that Santana said came out of there just hanging out, you know, getting high, whatever, and listen to
the music,
the music and making this world. So, I mean, that's and I think that fusion in many ways, to me, what's parts of what your music speaks to, and you may disagree with this, but it speaks to the fusion that is African culture in the West and is what that African culture, how it defines the West.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And
that's
me, that's what you're doing with this work.
That's right. You know, you're absolutely correct. I mean, that is the essence of this. And, you know, the diversity of this album speaks to the diversity of us as descendants of enslaved Africans, resilient people who are still here today. And so that runs throughout the entire project for sure.
Because if you think about what you both said earlier, I mean, it was you, Navasha, may have said this earlier, that When you talk about what it means to be a cultural warrior and to bring the arts into the world, not as just something sits on the side, but as integral to, mm-hmm. that if you think about what the African experience, the diasporic experience brought to this entire planet.
That's right.
That people are moving to it constantly, and also that means being infused both intellectually and spiritually with what is being infused through that art form, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a piece that people don't talk about a lot.
And it's like they want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So it's like you want to embrace the culture and the hipness, but not the people. And that's the issue.
That's
what this album's about.
Layer number one.
You can't ignore the people and dismayed people. Just like they just came out with this report about, you know, the drug sensitivity now. And when crack was put into our black communities on purpose because we were getting a little too organized. And the FBI finally admitted to it. It came out in the paper and people kind of ignored it. But I'm going to try to bring it up again, actually. They are now, we're sensitive about drug abuse now because it's not just black people involved and there's wealthy white children, you know, dying from drug abuse and things like that. So now it's more like, oh, it's a mental issue, it's a disease, versus when we had crack babies and crack in the communities, it was not as sensitive. It was people
evil
were not
crack
looking at
mothers.
It wasn't we weren't human. Exactly. Now people are human
on
drugs.
That's
so this is a race issue once again, and we can't forget that. Like, we can be people, the culture of America tries to help us be complacent so people can still make their money. We cannot be complacent of the injustices here. Just because we don't see it doesn't matter. Someone just got killed recently in Baltimore. Did they put the report out, the name of the child?
Over the weekend.
Yeah, but not even that. It was like before. It was like a week ago. Maybe it was over the weekend. I remember I was, anyway, but the report didn't come out to the name. But it's like all these things are happening. This has to end. It's just, it's so immature, human-wise. We're just the most, it's just so immature. The lack of culture, the lack of community. So going back to not throwing out the, you know, really embracing black people in the culture and not ignoring it. So if you see white children doing things and having riots after a game, that's like, oh, they're having a riot. If you see black children just hanging out in the corner, oh, they're about to do something. There's that dichotomy, the branding of black people as the negative branding of black people around the world is really, really a disease, and it's the illusion of white supremacy. The illusion of that is a disease. And so we're really still fighting for that. We're fighting for freedom to be truly human.
Right.
And to be embraced as truly human.
No, I think that's very powerfully said, Navasha. And I was thinking about the crack baby thing is just sticking in my head because it was like it made people who got strung out to be like they were some kind of
zombies or something.
That's
and
exactly
we know
what
we
I was
work,
looking for,
I mean,
zombies.
We know
exactly,
crack
right.
children who are in their 40s and they're fine and they're intellectual and they're smart. But it was a branding of sorts on purpose to demonize people so that they don't – so people feel like they are less than human, which gives an excuse to treat them a certain way. And so it's really a serious – the branding that we have, and now it's even worse because we have social media, but the branding that happened around the world of African people of African descent, we're still dealing with that. That's why this album is important.
So what should we – before we have the roll, what should we play now? What do you want to come up with so we can talk about for a minute?
Navasha? Yeah, since we're speaking about families and misperceptions, misconceptions, the Dawson family, we honored the Dawson family, a family who they were murdered in 2002. The entire family was killed when their home was firebombed in the Oliver community. They had called city services and the police over 100 times for assistance, and there was no response. So we wanted to honor the Dawson family through this particular song, I Am Because We Are, a tribute to the Dawson family.
Mm. I say that right?
Lom Nava Love.
Lom Nava Love. Lom Nava Love. And when's the film come out?
The film's going to debut in July. And you can check out our website to get more information, www.lomnavalove.com. And there'll be information about the screening. And we're very excited.
Do you know where it's going to be?
Yes, it's going to be at the Motor House. It's going to be at the Motor House.
That's North Avenue,
North Avenue. And then, you know, later in the summer, we're going to have a screening in Cherry Hill, then one in Albemarle Square, one in East Cleveland. And there's already been
requests. You're going to have it to a Republican convention?
That'd be awesome.
We will be out there with our families. Speaking the truth and singing the music. Hiding down Babylon.
And the album is available now on iTunes, CD Baby, also Bandcamp. If you look up my name, Navasha Dea, you'll find the music. And then we have a music video for one of the songs dealing with healthy relationships, which is important for this work and, you know, have a healthy community. It's called Love Journey, and that video is out on YouTube. So if you look me up, Navasha Dea, you will find a lot of this information as well. Navasha Dea. Please purchase and support this work.
Well, sometime we'll get you back in here soon, but of course, when the film premieres, will come out and do a whole piece on that.
That would be great.
And keep on this conversation.
Yeah, that would be great. For sure. Thank you.
To my favorite folks in the house today, Navasha Dea, Fanon Hill. Incredible work. Check out the website. We'll be linking to it on our website. Always good to see you too.
Thank you for having us.
All right.
Thank you, Mark. The entire team.
Thank you, entire team.
Yes.
They're bad. So we're going to take a short break and come right back. Don't go away. We're going to look at what's happening throughout the South with trans people and gay and lesbian brothers and sisters and what they're facing.